Let's go back to the legend of Enrico Caruso.
Yes, I do know that story.
And tell us that story.
Well, like I was saying, he was one of the greatest stars of the time. He was one of the premier opera singers in the world, and opera was a big deal then, right? I mean, there weren't rock shows yet or anything like that. So, the Hayechka Club, which was a local promoting group, had brought in Enrico, and when he got here, he decided he wanted to see an oil field. He was hoping that he could see what happens when they put dynamite down into the drill bore and perforate it. Sometimes when that happens, you get a gusher, or in the old days you would. And he was hoping to see that. And they were not able. They did take him out into, I believe, in Sand Springs. And it was an entourage of three cars, and as the story goes, a cold day, it was in January, and on the way back, all three cars had problems, either from mud or whatever, and he ended up walking the last six blocks back to Brady Theater, Tulsa Theater, in cold weather. And he already had a lung problem, apparently. He already suffered from pleurisy. So, as the story goes, he gave a great performance that night, and it got great reviews, and he lived in Italy, and I believe he only did two more performances after that, and then went back to his home in Italy, where he died 6 months later from pleurisy. And as the story goes, it was the cold that he caught in Tulsa while out in oil fields that led to his passing. And as such, he comes back and haunts the place.
Right, and I needed to ask you that. And so, so have you? You've been alone in that theater? I mean, in the convention hall or the Brady Theater
many times,
and wondered if the ghost is there with you.
Well, I try to talk to him. I call out his name. Come help me out here, Enrico. It is a dark place. You walk in, even in the middle, we could go over there right now, and it's pitch black when you go in because it's a theater. Unless you turn on electric lights, there's no light. So it can be the middle of the day that you can try to conjure up Enrico. But no, I've been there many times at night. I used to work late at night down there. And it would be creepy. You know, and your imagination would get a hold of you.
Oh, yeah. You'd hear a sound.
You'd hear a sound. Right. And so there's lots of gusty little, you know, it's not an airtight building. So when the wind is blowing outside, things can happen, sounds can happen. And,
yep. Yeah,
and a lot of people think that is the spirits talking to them.
We should acknowledge that your friend and my friend Mike Boyd is sitting in listening to this story.
Right.
And if he thinks that he needs something added, then we'll do that.
But okay.
It's nice to have Mike with us as we're talking about this. I'm going to keep calling it the Brady Theater. It was one of only 16 theaters in the United States equipped to host a full Metropolitan Opera production.
It had a large orchestra pit. You know, it wouldn't do it today because the technical capabilities of modern-day theaters is way beyond what they built in 1914. But at the time, it was equipped to do that.
I'm sure there were those on the East Coast or whatever. Tulsa, Oklahoma has a place like this?
Well, and when I'm out of town and I tell people about Tulsa, I say the Maple Ridge neighborhood is a good example of why it was so special in those days, because Tulsa was only about 30,000 people, but if you drive through Maple Ridge and see all these giant houses that were built during this time period, you can't go to other like-sized towns like Omaha or Des Moines or Shreveport. You can find nice neighborhoods, but they're not like Maple Ridge. So to your point, people from all over the world wanted to come see this little oil boom town, Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was a destination. in those days. So having a good theater where you could also bring in talent was just something else that the patrons of Tulsa wanted to have, very similar to when the BOK was built 10 years ago. The older arena was not large enough or didn't have the technical capabilities to bring in the modern-day artists, so we built the new BOK Arena, and it's done incredibly well.
Yeah.
I guess you could say the same thing was true in 1912 when the Boosters, the local Boosters, who had lots of money and had big houses over in Maple Ridge, they wanted some good talent to come in too. At the time it was built, they could cram, if I believe, you know, some of the things I've read, 4,200 people. Right now the capacity is about 2,850 people, the current capacity in Tulsa Theater. But at the time, they could put as many as 4,200 in there. They would, I don't know how they did it, because it was built for another balcony. It was built for two balconies, with the second one was never put in. Another bit of trivia. I don't know if I answered your question, but
yeah. And it was interesting that you would own this building in the same building that your father had produced Tulsa Philharmonic Concerts.
Correct. And he would bring me to Tulsa Municipal Theater, its name then, on Sunday afternoons for Philharmonic rehearsals, which was so interesting for a young teenager. I liked going. My brother didn't really like going to those, but my father knew that my interest was in those kinds of things, and he said, yeah, come on, let's go down and see that.
You know, there are some things that are just meant to be.
Right.
Tracking your life to this and that. I mean,
I was fascinated by it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'd get to talk to the stagehands, and the kind of the behind-the-scenes part of it is what interested me so much. You know, how does it work when you bring a set in and you raise it and lower it?